Good morning. I'm so glad to be here in the house of the Lord and to be able to share more of the truth about Him. How many know that whatever we do here is really all about Him? How many know that? And our desire is for us to understand Him even better, that we might be able to walk in His way so that He can walk with us and we can have all the blessings that are afforded to us as believers. And so today, we are continuing our series called The Way. And it's very important that we understand what that means for you and I. The way means that there is a way to walk with the Lord that is so clear, so distinct, that many times we have not been told what that is, and we should measure ourselves by that way. And we're walking through Luke chapter 6 because it's an incredible chapter that talks about what Jesus perceives as how to walk in the way. He's the one who wrote it. He's the one who spoke it. He's the one that put it into pen and paper in for you and I to have. And it's important that we know what that way is. And so today, we're going to continue in that, but we're going to bring in another character out of the Bible, a man who was an incredible man out of the Bible by the name of Paul. And I want you to just kind of walk in this journey with me, but I need you to write down this takeaway for today. This is what I want you to take away today. It's this: His way is my way. Say that with me. His way, that's right. His way is my way. I want, by the time that we finish here today, that your declaration will be, His way is my way. Now, just so you know, these are Frontier shirts, and I want everybody to have a Frontier shirt. Listen, the greatest testimony you can ever give is to show your love for the place that you worship. And I'm telling you, you can pick them up outside in the front after service. But would you partner with me and go out and show the world that, hey, we're proud of our church. We're proud of worshiping together. We are a multicultural church who's not ashamed of one another. And if you believe that, would you raise your hands with me? And amen. Well, listen, buy a shirt, get a shirt, go out and give somebody a shirt, and then, and let's do this together. Let's invite the city of Leesburg, the county of Lake County, into worship with Jesus with us. If you're with me on that, put your hands together and say, yeah, I will. Now, everybody say, drink something, Pastor. Goodness gracious. All right. Here's what I want to do. I want to go in and discover in God's word what He would have us to do. You know, I have to be very honest. Some of you are incredibly good looking. Yeah. Except Rocky. I don't know what happened. I think he was dropped early in life. I don't know. Look at your neighbor and say, you're good looking. You're good looking. I want you to put your finger out there like this, point it straight ahead, right? Point it straight ahead, please. And then I want you to bend it back like this right here, and say, I'm good looking too. That's right. Now, when I say that, I don't necessarily mean on the outside. I'm telling you, you are good looking on the inside through and through, and when Jesus comes in your life, you are the bomb. Come on now. You ought to walk with a swag. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, you know, here's how I used to walk before I knew Jesus. No, you can't do that. But when you really come to know Jesus, and you know your legs start itching like this, you should start bouncing from left to right, and then your swag comes on, you're like, boom. You got, and that's when you really do it. That's when you take your jacket, and you take your jacket, and you go. I did that better years ago. It was a lot better. But when you walk in Jesus' way, you look marvelous. And listen, I don't want you to be good looking just on the outside. You know what's a beautiful person? A beautiful person is a person that's so submitted to Jesus' way, they look good no matter what they got on. Come on, somebody. You know, I learned this a long time ago. You know, I don't care how good you look, stupid looks ugly on anybody. You can be crazy in your life and you don't look good. You can be the most prettiest person in the world, most handsome man in the world. But if you don't have Jesus in your life, there's something missing. And so here's what Jesus says. Jesus wants us to walk in his way because there's something he's trying to give us. And the thing I believe that he's trying to give you and I is a facelift. Love it. Amen. I got one out there. That's classic, ain't it? It's classic. He does. He wants to give all of us a faith. I mean, listen, some of us, our faces are so droopy, you need a Holy Ghost Botox. We're so sad. We're so unhappy. And God's trying to infuse joy. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to know his way because he doesn't want you sad and unhappy and feeling guilty and looking like, you know, someone ran over you and backed up again. Boop, boop. No. He wants you to be full of joy on the inside. He wants you to be happy. Right? Now I believe this is true because, you know, sometimes Jesus is trying to get us to look a little bit like him. Amen. And sometimes you can't choose the path of least resistance. Sometimes it's not easy when Jesus begins to conform you into his image because that means we have to give up some stuff. It means we have to sacrifice what makes us comfortable to be in his way. Sometimes you can't stay all day in front of the video game. You got to pick up your word and read it. You can't be out every weekend so that you miss worship. You got to give up your time for the Lord. You've got to pray sometimes when you don't feel like it. I mean, you got to open up that Bible when, and you can't do it right before you go to sleep because that's when you always go to sleep. You got to pick a time in your life where you're strong, where the time of the day is when you're at your strength. That's why he says, love the Lord your God with all your mind, your body, and your strength. Don't give him the weakest point of your life. Give him the strongest. And give him that time. It's going to cause us to go in a path that isn't easy, and you can't choose the path of least resistance. You know, I learned this a long time ago when I was in college. Believe it or not, funny enough, I used to model in college. Can you believe that? I mean, that was, they let me on a stage in college. That was like amazing. And I used to model, and we had a big event coming up, and so I wanted to get my hair cut because, you know, I wanted, you know, that's when I had hair. Amen. I shave on purpose. It's not because I need to. I just do it because I like to. Anyway, so I went to this barber, and I wanted to get a haircut, and there was only one strip in Tallahassee where you can go and get your haircut. Now, there was the guy that everybody went to, right? And everybody went to the guy, and the line was out of the door. But there was another barber just beyond him, and I looked and said, there's nobody in there. Man, I can get in and out. How many know sometimes that's a trap? You can't always go the path of least resistance. There's a reason nobody's in that shop. And I remember walking in and the barber was there and he's very polite. And he had some young guys sitting around in the room and he goes, go ahead, son, have a seat. And so I sat down and he got the little thing around me and began to wrap it around my neck. I'm thinking, oh, this is nice. This kid, it's nice. He's got a nice clean thing around my neck. And he's rapping. He says, what do you like? What would you like? And I said, well, here's what I need. I'm going to be modeling today, so I need a fade on this side. I need a little cut here because I'm going to have it come up in the front. But if you could just put a little edge right around here and an edge over here. And the guy's back there like this. He's like, no problem, no problem, no problem. And I'm thinking, man, he's so polite. And I'm sitting in the chair, and I hear the clippers going, and then the next thing, you know, he starts to cut, and he's going real slow, and I'm like, oh, he's taking his time and everything. And then, and it's that moment you go, that felt like that went way too high. And then he's like, and I'm like, wait, that's, that can't be right. And then that's that when it really gets bad is when it rolls off the top and comes down your chest. What you gonna do then? You're in the chair, half your head is gone. You know what I mean? What are you gonna say? Make him mad? No. Two people you never make mad in your life. The people who cook your food and your barber. Amen, somebody. So I'm sitting there, and he's cutting it, and I'm seeing hair fall off and everywhere, and I'm going like this, oh, my gosh, what can I do? And I took the path of least resistance, oh, my goodness. And I'm looking, and then I started to notice around the room, and I saw all these little kids running around, and all the little kids had the same haircut. And all of them had, they had a cut way up to here and a bowl right here on the top. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And I'm sitting there going, no. And I'm looking in the mirror and I looked at his head. Oh, he's got a bowl on his head too. And when it was all said and done, I stood up, stepped away from all my hair, looked at the mirror, and I had a bowl right here on the top. I learned a valuable lesson that day. Never take the path of least resistance. Sometimes you got to wait on it. Come on now. There are times in your life where the Lord hasn't come through, and you're not to try to make it go through. There are times in your life where you want something to happen so bad that you start making decisions and saying, well, this is what I believe the Lord is saying. And the Lord hadn't spoken at all. You've got to pull back and wait. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. There is an endurance that we receive when we wait on God for his way. Somebody say amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, wait on him. Amen. Turn to the other side and say, I'm talking to you too. Amen. Wait on him. And see, I believe like, although the barber made me like everybody in the shop because that's all the barber had, I realize the truth about Jesus too. Jesus wants to convert you into his image because that's all he is. The Bible says very distinctly that God is love. And you'll know that you really are his believer, his disciple, if you have love in your heart. The Bible says that Jesus said to his disciples, and by this shall all men know that you're mine, by your love one to another. I want to challenge you today and ask you that if you're really walking in Jesus' way, how much have you loved on the brethren? How much have you loved on our sisters in faith? How easy is it for you to quit when you're unhappy? See, that's not a mark of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not selfish. Love does not puff itself up. Love is gentle. And when we begin to feel like we're on edge and we have to drive other people to do what we want, it's my way or the highway, is that really love? Love is by allowing people to be frail and to allow people to make mistakes and still love them through their errors. That's why the Bible says that one of the gifts of the Spirit is long-suffering. What does that mean? That means you suffer long. Come on, somebody. That means that's not short-suffering. That's called long. How many in here are long-suffering? Don't lie. Because you know what I learned? After every great teaching is an example. You'll walk up out of here and somebody will try your last nerve.
Come on now, Pastor.
Your last nerve will pop off of you. Boom, I'm done. I'm telling you. But love is long-suffering. How long can you last with your brethren without saying, I quit? Let me ask you this question. How many of you in this room did Jesus give up on? Now, let me qualify what I'm about to say. I'm not saying that you have to abide foolishness. I'm not saying that. You know, the Bible says that you have to forgive 7 times 70. Yes, forgive. It doesn't mean enable. Come on now. If you have a person that comes to your house and they're always stealing your stuff, forgive them. Be long-suffering. But they can meet you at a restaurant. You have to have boundaries, right? And sometimes wisdom dictates that you have boundaries so that you can help them stay holy. Love is long-suffering. And I want to say to you that Jesus was very long-suffering for you and I. But I need to say this to some of you that are here today. You know, the greatest killer of most Christians is guilt. When you feel like you've messed up, and you've messed up so many times that you don't even want to pray for forgiveness anymore. Anybody ever felt like that before? I know I have. And I've been to a point where I said, God, I don't want to even open my mouth and ask you to forgive me again because, you know, I asked you the last time and I thought I was serious and I did it again. And then I asked you again and I thought that was it and I did it again. I don't want to ask you anymore. But you don't understand God. Here's the truth about him. I want you to, if you would, in your Bibles, and if you could just follow me, would you turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah, it's in the Old Testament, chapter, I'm pretty sure it's 55. And if you have it, I want you to say amen if you've got it. Okay. In Isaiah chapter 55, it talks to us about this. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come and take your choice of wine or milk. Everyone repeat after me. It's all free.
It's all free.
This is a great illustration of God's grace. That if you're thirsty or you're hungry, and you have nothing to give God, he says, come on anyway. Because I want you to understand it's all free. Grace you can't work for. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. The way of Jesus is by extending grace to us. Grace is the great competitor of guilt. When we think that God has done with us, we must remember this. Because God is saying, you can't earn it, you can't buy it, you're not good enough for it, but I can give it to you free of charge. How many want a little grace in this house? Look at verse 2. Would you read it, verse 2? Why spend all your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good, and you will enjoy the finest food. Listen, many a times we have indulged ourselves in things that we consume that never satisfy. We have people in our lives. We have jobs and things, and we occupy our time with other things, and we have not allowed His way to be our way. But I need you to understand, those things will never satisfy you. Yeah. Only He can feed you, and then you'll no longer be hungry. Look at the next verse, verse 3. Will you read with me, please? Go. Wow, who is he talking to? It's you. Everybody on this row over, it's you. Everybody in this middle aisle, this covenant is talking about you. Guys, you're out of luck. Anyway, I'm just playing. I couldn't help it. Listen to what he says. There's a condition. He says, listen to me. Listen. Come to me with your ears wide open. Do you remember that Jesus used to always make this comment? It's always confusing, but he would say it all the time. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Coolest thing ever, never understood it. But what he's saying is that if you want him, you have to open up your ears to hear him. You have to want his way to be your way, not your way to be his way. But God, I love them. I know they're selling drugs. I know they're abusing my children. But I love them. But when you really understand what love is, love doesn't hurt you. Love lifts you up. You hear what I said? How many remember that old hymn? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, very deeply stained within. Sinking to rise no more. Then the master of the storm heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. And the verse, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help, love lifted me. When you're sinking deep in that sin, far from the peaceful shores, you may even be very deeply stained within and thinking, I'm sinking to rise no more. But I need you to understand something. But the master of the storm, he hears your despairing cry, and from those waters, he will lift you up so you can say, now safe am I. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, says the Lord. And I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. Now I need you to stop and pay attention to his words. The first word I want you to focus on is unfailing. It means that that love never gives up on you. It's unfailing. It will not fail. It will not stop. It will not come short of where you are. His love is unfailing. But God, I did, my love is unfailing. But they said, my love is unfailing. But God, I don't, my love is, I don't care if you're down deep in the pit of depression. God will come down with a shovel and a crew and dig you out. His love is unfailing. But you must want his way. Amen. He said this, the second word I want you to focus on is David. David. I want you to ask the question for a moment. What did David do? Not how good he was. See, love doesn't have to be unfailing to a perfect person. Love must be unfailing to a failing person. David failed. David counted the people because Satan was bothering him. God said in the Old Testament, don't ever count how many children of Israel there are. Don't ever do it. And David was moved by Satan. Like many of us, he comes to attack, to steal, kill, and destroy. And he can't stop us, but we can stop ourselves when we listen to him. He can't touch you. Everybody say this with me. Dun-dun-dun-dun, can't touch this. Say it with me, go. Look at your neighbor, don't touch me. Turn the other side, don't you dare touch me. He cannot touch you. The Bible says in 1 John that they that are the sons of God, the evil one toucheth not. He cannot mess with you. All those stories we hear, all those things we've been taught, oh, you better get out of there because, you know, I don't want them laying hands on me because that what's the evil devil in them going to fall on me? Foolishness. What devil can overcome the Holy Ghost inside of you? Greater is he that is than he that is. What are you talking about? Come on now. Boo! Drop the mic. You got too much in you to believe that lie. Man, I'll cast the devil out. Put the kids down on the front row. Don't worry about your children. Your children are covered by the blood. Come on, somebody. I'll cast the devil out all over the place. Your kids can play the whole time. You better know who you are. His love is what? Unfailing. That means if you love your kids, how much more do you think he loves your kids? We are so worried about our own children. What's going to happen with their life? What are they going to do? Won't they get it together? They're always in trouble. You don't love them as much as God loves them. Let me tell you, you don't. You have to begin to trust God to take their life and change it. Instead of complaining, start praying. Instead of fussing, faithfully pray day and night like Job did over his kids. Unfailing love. That's Jesus' way. And he says, David messed up pretty bad. He wanted to count the people. So he says, by the pressure of the enemy, I'm going to count how many people I got, how many people in my kingdom. Let me just go ahead and count how much stuff I got. I'm so happy with my life. I'm top of the world, baby. I'm the king. So let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And while he's in the midst of counting, the prophet of the Lord came and said, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you not to count the people? Amen. Now, you're in trouble. Now, here's what's going to happen. One of three things, and he named them. And they happened to him. But the Bible says God would let none of them overtake him. Amen. Because why? His love was unfailing. We can make our choices, but we can't always choose our consequences. And David couldn't choose his when he made a mistake. But God says, even when you made your mistake and your consequences have come, I am still with you always, even to the end of the world. I don't know about you, but I want his way to be my way. I want to be able to look at people that are around me and say, you messed up. And I understand it's tough right now. But I want you to know I'll never leave you. And I'll never walk away. No matter how you treat me, no matter what you say, my love is unfailing. That means you got to have a whole lot of love for it to be unfailing. Can I see a show of hands of how many people would like to have that much love? Keep them up in the air. This is why it's important that you want this, that his way be your way. Because when you want that kind of fountain of love, the Bible says that when you're full of that love, that God is love. And the more love you have, the more God you have in your life. Put your hands down. You're going to want more loving you are, the more God comes through every pore in your body. I want you to look at this because he says, I kept it with David, I keep it with you. Go to the next verse, verse 4. Would you all read it for me, please? Go. Verse 5. Do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. There's only one person in the world that can make you glorious. Only one. It's his way. And he can make you glorious so much so that people come running to you. Read the next verse, verse 6. While you can find him, call on him. Wow. Listen, there are many people because of guilt feel like their time is over. Maybe you made a mistake in life and you feel like the future you wanted is gone. But may I say this to you, sir, to you, ma'am, as long as you have breath in your body, there, your future is still on track. Amen. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, meaning even if you feel like quitting, that call is still on your life. Amen. Get up and do what God called you to do. Amen. Come on, somebody. You got to get it done. If you're alive today, that means your purpose is still in process. Somebody say amen. Amen. Call upon him now. Everybody say now. Now. While he is near. What does that mean? Is God ever far away? No, but you're focused on him now. Amen. There may come a time you get so busy, he doesn't cross your mind. You better do it while he is near to you. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about the greatness of Jesus. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain grace and mercy to help in your time of need. God is so loving and so unfailing in his love, he leaves us with no excuse but to get up again and keep going. He says, I will create a throne for everybody who makes mistakes. It's called the throne of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It means you don't deserve it. And then he says that you might find grace and what? Mercy to help in your time of need. Mercy is given to those who are guilty. So if you don't deserve it and you feel like you're guilty, go run to the throne boldly. He's made room for you that his unfailing love will lift you up again. Don't disqualify yourself because of guilt. Allow his ways to be in you. It says, yes, turn to our God and he will forgive generously. Last verse, verse 8. And this is why he says these words. Because in our thoughts, we think God's got to be like me. He's got to be tired of me. He's got to be tired of me coming, because I would get tired of me coming. I'd get tired of saying I'm sorry. I'd get tired of anybody, because I don't give that much to anybody else. People get on my nerves. People frustrate me. People quit on me, and I quit on people. I don't like people. I'd rather be alone. I like Netflix. I'll stay home all day. So God has to be like me. So I'm not going to go. And God, in his infinite wisdom, writes this statement for you and I to remember. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. He says, in my way, are far beyond anything you can imagine. He says, don't try to outthink me. When it comes to my love for you, don't try to compete with me. You'll never understand how deep my love is for you. You'll never understand why I call it unfailing. For my thoughts are not like your thoughts. You think like men. I am God. My ways are far beyond what you can do and imagine on your best day. Quit telling me I can't forgive you. Quit telling me I won't come for you. Quit telling me I can't do it. Quit talking negative. Quit complaining. Quit! For you don't know what I can do if you let me. Look at verse 9 and it gets better. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, which is unmeasurable, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Look at verse 10. Would you read for me? Go. Verse 11. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you see that? He says, my word is like the rains that come down from heaven that water the dry earth, causing things to grow and prosper and bear fruit. He says, let me tell you, when I say I have unfailing love, when I say my ways are higher than your ways and I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he says, you can bet your bottom dollar on it, because whatever I say, it will accomplish what I want it to. And whatever I say, it will prosper where I sent it. It never comes back to me empty-handed. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Let me in your heart. Let me in your mind. Let me be your God. Let me lead your life. Let your ways be like my ways. And I will show you who you are. I go back to my thought for the day. God, let his ways be my ways. His way is my way. Ladies and gentlemen, as we close, I challenge you to receive the grace of God and to know that he loves you, your whole family, and that he's called you here even today to hear this love letter, that you might know that his ways is unfailing towards you. Never let sin hold you down. Never let guilt keep you away from the body of Christ. Never let anger, unforgiveness, or aughts keep you from one another. Let your love be unfailing like his is. And get up and become all God has called you to be. Let's give Jesus a great hand clap.